Time now to catch up with Jeff from Cellar Wine. Jeff, good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning to all your listeners.
Beautiful day, mate.
Yeah, beautiful day here at the vineyard. Weather's been absolutely gorgeous. A little bit of wind occasionally, but nothing too serious.
You
still pretty dry,
that.
Peter. You know, pretty dry. I was just looking at it the other day. We've only got about 2/3 of the normal rainfall so far this year. So, you know, we're looking at another very dry year. Actually, much drier than last year, interestingly. So. And of course, drought's back in the news again. It's been featured in the paper. The government, of course, have got their heads stuck up somewhere, probably in the sand.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's something nice for them.
Yeah. So unfortunately, that's the way it is there, Peter. So anyway, it is a lovely day, and things look fairly good. Of course, the vineyard is drip irrigated, so it looks spectacular, and we don't have any shortage of water. It's just the rain, Peter.
Right. Understood. That was going to be my next question. You know, with all this drought around, is that going to affect, your product in any way?
Not really, as long as we've got the water. We had a problem a year before last, before we got our backup pump working properly. When our dam got very low and our big system went down, our backup pump didn't have enough power to pull it up out of the dam and up to the higher points of the vineyard. But
right.
I think we've addressed that issue, so... it's something, you know, that we don't want to have to learn to live with. I mean, and we've got no sort of fraction of the problems that they've got over the other side of the range, Peter. Some of those farmers out there, it's big in the news again because the government's, waffling and carrying on. Problem in Australia, Peter, is that, 90% of the people live in cities. And as long as there's food on the shelf when they go into the supermarket, they don't really care.
I noticed that actually going into supermarkets, you think, all right, I'll grab my regular cat food. Oh, that's out of stock. All right, yeah. So the deliveries are further apart now, which is a pity because there's a particular brand of food that my lovely little girl likes.
Yeah. Well, it's a problem, Peter. Unfortunately, city people elect the government because most of Australians live in cities, and therefore policies that help farmers are just not popular because nobody cares.
They care about money.
Yeah. Well, talking about that, Peter, I got a couple of gripes today. Now, I didn't say grapes. I said gripes.
You stood on them, did you?
There was a very interesting article in The Guardian. As we've discussed before, I generally try and read The Guardian and CNN and The New York Times and that before we go on the air to see what's happening in the world. There's an article by a fine lady, done a very nice piece called Samantha Hepburn on natural gas and exports of LNG. I don't know if you know, Peter, there's a move afoot now. Australia, by the way, has become the largest exporter in the world of natural gas, LNG. And the prices here are currently 300% up in the last 4 years, but they're down from 500% up, the domestic prices.
Right.
And we've... Exports have increased in the last 20 years 1,000%. Now, here's the scandal, Peter. There's a proposal put to the government to get a license to import LNG from Asia and, guess this, the United States, because we don't have enough for our domestic supply. We're the largest exporter in the world, but LNG in the United States is 1/3 the cost that it is to our domestic users in Australia. So the smart boys here said, well, look, we can buy it cheaper in the United States and sell it in Australia and make a hell of a killing.
Yeah.
And because they have long-term contracts to export this natural gas, Peter. And the problem is, as Samantha Hepburn went on to say, businesses are going bankrupt because businesses that use a lot of natural gas can't afford to pay the bill. She listed a few that have already gone into receivership, and one that you might be surprised of, you know, BlueScope Steel, just invested $1 billion in a plant in the United States to manufacture their products because gas is one-third, energy is one-third the cost in the United States as it is in Australia.
Unbelievable.
And if it was the same cost in Canada, I've said this before many times, as it is in Australia, 2 million people would freeze to death over winter because nobody would be able to afford to heat their house. They'd be living in one room. And the cost of getting gas out in Canada is way more than the cost of getting gas out in Australia because, you know, you're working in 30 and 40 below zero up in the hinterland.
That's right.
And in a very mountainous regions in a lot of cases. And so, look, it's absolutely disgusting, Peter. The government, of course, is, you know, money grubbers. They leave government and they go and work for the gas companies and the coal companies and the oil companies. I don't know if you saw it a couple of years ago. There was a double-page spread in the Sydney Morning Herald of all the ex-government ministers and civil servants that now work for the gas and the oil and the coal industries. And there were, I'd like to say thousands, but probably hundreds. There were probably 50 featured in that double spread, all senior executives. And it's all wink, 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 you know, when you're going to retire, oh, well, gee, you know, we could use a smart guy like you, but we got to get this approved now. You know, it's really, really very poor, Peter. And this natural gas, I mean, it's a scandal. We're going to buy gas from the United States, and we're the largest exporter in the world.
Having trouble working out the maths on that, I really am.
Yeah, well, I know the maths doesn't work, Peter, because it's all in somebody's pocket.
Why do you think Australians are so greedy guts?
Yeah, I don't know, Peter. It's, you know, nobody works for the good of the nation. You know, it's like statesmen. We haven't had statesmen in government forever. Mm-hmm. They're all in it for the trough, you know.
That's
so
right,
it's terrible, terrible. I got another little thing that got my ire up a bit as well, Peter, because we've had a couple of discussions with them ourselves. And this is actually a plea to our listeners because, you know, when you make a booking, for example, I'm talking about the Hunter Valley now, and there's lots of accommodation here, and this is the biggest tourist area in Australia for wine tourism, the Hunter Valley, and lots of people come up here and have a great time. They have lots of weddings and things. But I'm asking people, when you make your reservation, we don't have a language barrier here or a currency barrier. Look at the website, the local website, and choose your accommodation. Go directly to the booking site. Most of the accommodations here have a button, which is a booking site, because they use a distributor. Don't go to booking.com and places like that. They charge 15%.
Yeah.
Okay? And the accommodation has a distributor button on their website. You can call them and talk to them personally, or if you don't want to, if you click on the button, you get a reservation system that's run by a big company, but it only costs the accommodation like 3 to 5%. And the reason why accommodations use those distributors and have those buttons on their website is so that once it keeps track of their accommodation, once the reservation's made, it blocks out that area so that you can't double book. But the thing is that when you go through booking.com, you pay booking.com 15% and the place still pays 3 to 5% to the distributor. So they're getting only 80%. Excuse me. In this day and age, we should not be using places like that locally. If you go overseas, that might be different. But here's the other point, Peter. Airbnb only charges the accommodation 3%. So, you know, if you've got a choice, use Airbnb.
Yeah.
Best to call the accommodation directly. Cut the booking.com out. They're predators. You know, they're living off, you know, other people's back. And they should go out of business, basically. That's what I think, because they're ripping off everybody. If Airbnb can do it for 3%, why does Booking.com need 15%?
Because they're greedy.
Exactly, Peter. And that 15%, by the way, isn't staying in Australia. Booking.com, I think, is an American company.
Yeah.
So it's just going offshore. So I'm making a plea to people in Australia, where your knowledge is so good, where you've been many times, you know, don't use those types of services.
It's just directly to the people that are offering the service.
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you get the same service, and it's not, you know, a lot of accommodations make the price higher on Booking.com. In fact, we're going to do it ourselves because we've decided that we're going to drive people to services that charge a lot less fees. And the only way we can do it is by increasing the prices on people like Booking.com. So that's right. What, you know, how we have to fight back. But I think a lot of companies do that. We're just asking you to use an efficient service, not somebody that charges five times as much.
Right, mate, so. I discovered another little ripoff, which really annoyed me. People like Telstra, you can go into their shop and you cannot pay your bill there. You've got to go to Australia Post. But here's the catch. If you go to Australia Post, there is a $1.75 fee to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I mean, people on a pension and all that, they don't need that sort of rubbish.
No. No, it's, I don't know what it is. I mean, I don't have a problem with Australia Post Service, but I think that they should not be in some of the commercial business they're in because they're taking business away from private enterprise.
That's right.
When they're selling hard drives and, you know, flash memories and all those types of things. I understand they're trying to raise money, but hey, they're not paying rent. They're not, you know, they're a different kettle of fish. They got a monopoly on the business that they do. They shouldn't be in those. They should, I think that they really should be restricted to, you know, selling packaging stuff and envelopes and things that are related to giving better service to their fundamental business. That's what I think.
What do you think we should do to try and turn this? Petrol is through the roof here. And you look at other countries and they're not charging anywhere near it. How do we turn this all around? Who do we kick?
Well, here's the thing. See, the government, when they first, discovered gasoline or diesel or whatever, you know, petroleum products is what I'm thinking, and diesel and gasoline or petrol are refined products, of course. They said, we're going to operate on the world price because that will keep prices down in Australia. So we'll use a free market system and we'll pay less. Well, of course, we pay more than anybody does. Yep. Same thing with gas. Oh, we got to have a free market because that'll ensure that our natural gas is cheap as anywhere in the world. Well, we're 300% higher. We were 500% higher just 2 years ago. It's actually dropped a bit, but we're still up 300% in the last 4 years. We were up 500%. So it's a crock of, you know what, Peter? It's just not, plainly not true. So they have this watchdog organization now, the government. I don't know if it's actually all government or if it's an industry government thing. It's supposed to watch to make sure that regulatory approvals look after the Australian consumer. Yeah. What a joke. It's probably based in Hawaii or somewhere, Peter.
Mate, I just don't understand. I was pricing, a computer that I wanted assembled but no software on it. Yeah. And I remember the last one I bought was about, $380 to $400. Yeah. Now, the other day I priced one. Oh, look, we can do it for $620. And I thought, what?
Yeah.
Now, it's not their fault. They're actually paying more for all the bits and pieces. And people like you and I are suffering unbelievably, and we don't have extra money.
The dollar's down too, Peter, which explains that a bit. Look, consumer electronic equipment has become more competitive. There's no question about it. Ever since the government introduced the $1,000 duty-free import allowance. Local consumers, look, it's put, what's his name, Dick Smith out of business, basically.
Yeah.
Because they can't compete. They can't buy it and add the retail cost. See, cost of everything in Australia is way higher because our labor rates are amongst the highest in the world. Our benefits are probably the highest in the world. I mean, in the United States, the average employee, working man, gets like 2 weeks. Here they get like 6 weeks. And, you know, it's on and on. There's no penalty rates in that. So I sympathize with the retailers, you know, because it's the regulations here in lots of cases that are putting them out of work. I don't have anything against the workers. It's just the way the system is here. But you can't have a competitive economy when you are the highest cost in the world.
It's unbelievable.
It's just as simple as that.
Mate, I had a walk around. I went to Sydney yesterday on business, and I had a walk around, and the number of shops that are vacant, it's reflected here in Newcastle as well, is absolutely amazing. And, you know, shops that I've gone to deal with, and you sort of think, okay, and it's just boarded up, and you think, well, where in the blazes have they gone?
Yeah, well, like Blue Scope Steel, Peter, they've invested $1 billion in the United States and they've moved their production. And it'll keep happening.
Yep.
You know, it just, there's nobody, we talked about this, our manufacturing sector is negligible.
Yeah.
See, it's buried, we did a whole program on it, Peter, it's buried in the industrial sector. But the industrial sector is 92% mining. You take mining out, and we have no industrial sector.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's like the industry. Yeah, it's like the industry saying that, you know, well, you give us all the concessions we want, or we will chuck out a hissy fit and go overseas. And it's happening everywhere, which is a shame. Let's make it much more pleasurable for people, and get into some organic wine.
Exactly, Peter. Okay, I got one little thing to say first. I should have spent so much time bashing the government, I guess, but interesting research article came out. You know the creatine that bodybuilders use to build their muscles?
I've heard of it, yes.
Yeah.
If you saw my buddy, you know there's not a lot of building going on.
There's not a lot of creatine. University of California just published a study. We talked about these killer T cells a few weeks ago, Peter, that are actually the frontline defense in the body against cancer.
That's right. Yes, I remember.
And, yes, they found that creatine helps those cells. Let me just read it to you. See that these tumor-battling T cells had increased their capacity to take in creatine, like a good reason. So we designed experiments to determine what happens if they can't get it. And the reverse happens. When they can get the creatine, 4 out of 5 mice that received the combination therapy found to have completely eradicated their colon cancer tumors
wow.
and remained tumor-free for over 3 months.
Wow.
Furthermore, when they were given a second round of tumor cells, like they tried to make them catch cancer, all these cancer survivor mice were protected from tumor recurrence and remained tumor-free for an additional 6 months. So,
well, yeah, I think science needs to look at that for humans.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. I've already ordered mine, Peter, my creatine, because we're survivors, as you know.
Yep.
But this was a very, very important piece of work, I think, because, you know, it's T cells are the answer. We did the show on the killer T cells, the engineered ones, where they found it was 100% effective at all types of cancer. But we can't get our hands on those, Peter. But we can enhance our own T cells, not to overdo it, because creatine in large amounts is no good for you, but creatine in small amounts. So I think we take this research, Peter, and we say it can't hurt as long as we don't overdo it. So,
well, it's like anything, really. If you overuse, there's drama. If you do it sensibly, right, it's a good benefit. Now the government need to get behind that research and say, let's get it out to the people so that we can save their lives.
Yeah, well, it could. The interesting thing about this, Peter, is that it's an approved product. It's already available. Doctors can tell you about it, you know, in passing, but they can't tell you it is a treatment for cancer or a possible treatment for cancer because they're not allowed to do that.
Right.
But they could direct you to the article. But Peter, we're on the front line and we're directing people to the article. You can search it on the internet. The article was called, came out of the University of California. It's called Creatine Powers T Cells Fight Against Cancer. You search that on Google and you will get this research article dated October 18th. So it's only 5 days ago, Peter, this research was published.
Uh-huh.
We're on the leading edge here, Peter, of bringing the latest in developments to our listeners.
Fantastic. All right, mate, we better talk about the website because we need people to go there.
We do, and that's the other part of perfect health, Peter.
Oh,
some nice
yes.
organic wine.
Yes, so. You spoil me, you know, you really do. And I boast about it everywhere.
Yeah. Acillawines.com.au, Peter, and mix and match down to a 9-pack free delivery Australia-wide. Weather's beautiful here. Silk Tree looks great. We were really quite busy last weekend. We had a couple of great groups. We had a 20 woman in the 35, 40-ish age group, a soccer team, if you can imagine it, celebrating the end of the year of their soccer season last weekend. And boy, were they a healthy group.
I couldn't think of a better way to do it, mate. It's lovely to catch up with you.
Yeah, great, Peter. And we'll catch up next week.
We sure will. Jeff from Acela Wines, so that's acelawines.com.au. Hey, check out the website as soon as you can.